The following is a presentation of Remnant. Light of the
world. Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jeremiah Vick.
Just can't get enough of that song. I know you love it. And, oh, by the way, you're thinking that I'm probably going to share another song with you a little later. And you're right, I will forewarn you. But as Jerry mentioned last week, some of the songs get stuck in your head and you wish that they would leave. But then some of them get stuck in your head and you kind of like it. I know a lot of you went out and you bought the TV sitcom theme song CD. Some of you have that. You listen to it in the car. Maybe I'm the only one that did that at some point. Used to have a good friend that had the original Star Trek score from the TV show Star Trek. This musical arrangement from all of the TV shows. And I had no idea that Star Trek had that much music in it. And he used to play that all the time and thought that was cool. And it wasn't. Star Trek's cool, but I don't know about having the soundtrack to the TV show. We've been going through our series, Home Sweet Home, and today's message is Full House. Let me do a little bit of review just to kind of catch you up to speed on the things we've been talking about. We started out on Mother's Day talking about moms, giving some examples from God's Word of some moms that we needed to pay special attention to. Next thing we did was we went to Family Ties, and I left you with another nasty song to torture you throughout the week, and we talked about what really ties a family together. We moved on from there and talked about growing pains, and we talked about how a family has to grow, and not just larger, but a family must grow together and grow closer to God. And then we moved on to home improvement last week. Jerry talked to us about some practical things that we can do to be better family members, and today, full house. And let me say this, just because the house is full of people doesn't mean that it's a family. I was thinking about this week because so many times, and especially in today's culture, the traditional family, as Jerry mentioned last week, really is almost non-existent. And a lot of times what happens is you end up having one or two families living under the same roof. Sometimes you have a cousin that lives with you. Sometimes you have friends of the family that come to stay in your house. And so thinking about how the family dynamic has changed so much, and it's not what it traditionally was 20 or 30 years ago. A family is so much different than that now. And you may find yourself to be a person that's in a home that maybe not everybody in the home is blood related to you. I want to talk about what it's like to have a family or to make a family out of a home like that. How do you survive in a non-traditional, or some people like to say a dysfunctional home, but I don't really like to use that term because it's still functioning as a family, even though it's not functioning in a traditional sense as a family. But how do you turn that house full of people into a family? And so we're going to talk about that this morning. But of course, well, tell me if you recognize this tune. Yes. Now that's a family right there. Now, Full House, I think, is a great example of a family that there's a bunch of people living together, and they're not necessarily all related to each other. If you've ever seen the show, and now this is one show that I didn't catch a whole lot of episodes of, but my understanding of the show is that the dad, who lost his wife in a car accident, has three daughters. He has his brother-in-law and his wife that live with him, and also his good friend, Joey, is that his friend? Yeah. He lives with them as well. And then as the season, or as the series goes on, and I think this picture is actually from like the seventh or eighth season, more and more people kind of become a part of this family. The family keeps growing. And so I think about Full House, all these people living under the same roof, and yet they're a family. And so we want to kind of talk about that today. Oh, by the way, the theme song for Full House was sung by John Stamos. I don't know how many of you guys know that. But a tidbit of information, you're probably going to want to tuck that away into your trivia file. Someday it'll come in handy. Yes, I was always envious that he could wear a leather vest and get away with it. I don't know that I could wear a leather vest and people would still respect me as a person. But he could do that. So we're going to be looking at 1 Peter 2, verses 1 through 5, but let's pray first. Father, thank you so much, God, for bringing us into this time where we can talk about families. In all honesty, we recognize that the traditional family is really just not something you see all the time, God, and many of us are in families that are not necessarily the traditional family, God, and yet we live under the same roof. We spend so much time together, God, and so I pray, Father, that you would open our eyes, help us to understand a little bit more about how we can make our home not just a house, not just a place that we live, God, but teach us how we can make that into a home. God, we desire to hear from you this morning. I certainly pray, Father, that the words that I speak will be your words and not mine, because, God, I definitely don't have all the right words, but you do. And so this morning, as we look at your word, I pray that you would speak through me. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 2, read verses 1 through 5. It says, "So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk of the word, that by it you may grow up into salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourself, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." I look at this passage and it starts right out saying that one of the first things we need to do in a house in order to make it a home is we need to take out the trash. How many of you, your favorite job around the house is to take the trash out? By a show of hands, I thought that might be the response. Jerry, it's not your favorite job. You mentioned it a lot, so I figured. Here's the thing about taking out the trash. Sometimes we don't necessarily know what exactly is trash. I've made the mistake of throwing away some things that my wife doesn't think is trash. She thinks is really actually valuable stuff that she wants to hold on to. And I see it and I'm just like, that's not mine. I don't know what that's for. It's trash, automatically. So I've gotten in trouble for throwing out some things that weren't supposed to be thrown out. I've also gotten in trouble for not throwing out things that need to be thrown out. As a matter of fact, Debbie text messaged me the other night and said, "Hey, when you get home tonight, I have a romantic evening planned for us." She said, "We're going to spend the night going through all your old clothes and throwing out stuff that you don't wear anymore." And so all of a sudden I got very tired. And I get home and I'm like, "Debbie, I'm so tired. I need to just go straight to bed." And I go into the room and all those clothes she was talking about are piled on the bed. So I either have to like swim into the mountain of clothes or I have to do something. So don't actually tell how that story ends, okay? All right, Debbie ended up throwing out the stuff without my input. So there you go, a rare phenomenon in our house. Here's the thing. Throwing things out, getting rid of stuff that you don't need, or worse yet, getting rid of things that are harmful. That's what we're talking about here. So the first thing I think we see in this passage is that we need to get rid of all things that are harmful to your relationships. Get rid of all things that are harmful to your relationships. What does it say in verse 1? "So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander." Now, these sound like some pretty nasty things to have in the house. But if we were all honest, we would have to say for the most part, these attributes are present in our homes. And these are things we need to get rid of. Well, what does it mean to have malice? Malice just means to wish somebody bad. And I'll tell you what, it's tough to go through a day in your home and not at some point wish somebody ill in your house. Am I right? Or maybe your house is different than ours and there's only two people living in our house. Right? And I don't always feel ill will towards myself. But the thing is, there is malice in our lives. try, now, we wouldn't try to physically hurt somebody, but there are times that we actually say things or do things or very subtly communicate that we're unhappy with somebody, and that's malicious. And here's another thing, deceit. Now, we're not talking about, guys, husbands, when your wife says, "Do I look nice in this dress?" The thing is, so many times we try to get our way, and it's not necessarily in the words that we say, but it might be the words that we don't say, or it might just be our body language. And there are many times that we communicate something that's not really a truth, and we don't necessarily have to do that by saying it. What about hypocrisy? It's real easy to think that you're the best member of your family. You're the one who your needs comes before everybody else, and it's especially easy to not admit when you do something wrong. Envy. There's been many times when I've been envious of my family members. It's usually around birthdays, Christmas, times like that. But so many times envy comes in and it really affects the way we relate to our family members. What about slander? Have you ever said something about someone in your family that maybe was true or maybe was not true, but for whatever reason it was meant to bring harm? Here's the thing, it all comes down to this. If your home is going to be a place of peace and unity, you've got to get rid of the things that cause strife and division. That only makes sense. If your home is going to be a place that's peaceful, and if it's going to be a place where you're unified, you've got to get rid of anything that's going to cause division, anything that's going to cause strife. Ephesians 4, verse 22, "Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception." Ephesians 4, 22 through 24 in the Message. I love the way Eugene Peterson words this, and I added a couple verses to this because I wanted you to get the whole meaning of this. Here's what he says. "Everything, and I do mean everything, connected with the old way of life has to go. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it, and then take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you." We're going to talk about this in just a moment, but it's not just about getting rid of things that don't belong in your life, but it's actually a matter of replacing those things, and that's the next thing that I see in this chapter. Not only do we need to get rid of those things, but we need to replace them with things that bring you spiritual health and maturity. Now, it's pretty easy to throw out some garbage in your house and have that instantly replaced by more garbage, or things that maybe is not garbage today, but tomorrow it's going to end up in the garbage. And the fact is, it's just a cycle of life having to replace things that leave a vacancy. And wouldn't it make sense that if you're going to get rid of some things in your life that are dishonoring to God and things that are harmful to your family, that you would want to replace those things with things that are going to be beneficial for your family? And so verses 2 and 3 says, "Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk of the word, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good." Now here's the deal. You may or may not, at this point in your life, have given your heart to God. You may or may not have asked God for forgiveness and said, "God, I give you my life and I want you to live through me." If you've never done that before, then let me just be honest with you. I want to be straight up about this, because if you've never experienced God in the loving, forgiving way that only a person who has given their heart to God can experience him, then you are never going to find that peace and that unity and that happiness in your family, and it doesn't matter who is living under your roof. You're never going to have those things until you give your heart and your life to God. And that can only happen by accepting the gift that Jesus gave for us. He gave his life for us, and we simply have to accept his sacrifice and accept that he did something that there's no way we can do. Took the punishment for our sins. It's a debt that we could never pay. He actually substituted himself for us. And because of that, we simply respond to God by saying, "God, forgive me for those things. I want you to take control of my life." Now, when you do that, God can begin to do some amazing things in your home. But I don't want to mislead you this morning. I don't want to give you a bunch of things that you might think is like self-help and, oh man, this is really going to really benefit the family. Because the fact is, having Christ at the center of your heart is essential to having a happy and peaceful family. And to be honest with you, it really can't happen otherwise. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk of the word. What do babies do when they get hungry?
They cry.
They try the only thing that they can to get attention so that they can get fed. What would it be like if we cried out for the nourishment that only God could give us? And what if that became a regular pattern of our lives? What if that became a regular habit where we needed God's instruction, we needed God's word in our lives, we needed the things that God has to tell us about how to live this life, and it was so necessary for us, it was almost like we couldn't survive without it. What would our lives look like? How different would they be? Once you begin to experience the healthy effects of God's word in your life, you can make a spiritual difference in your home. Now, when I say make a spiritual difference in your home, that might sound kind of vague, but here's the thing. Everything in life is spiritual. If you choose to separate the physical from the spiritual, you're simply compartmentalizing your life. Everything you do is spiritual. Now, that sounds really odd for me to say that, but if you have a relationship with God, you're going to behave differently. You're going to say things differently. You're going to do things differently. You're going to be a different person. And so everything around you becomes a response to what God is doing in you. That's why I say everything's spiritual. The way you spend your money becomes a spiritual thing when you have a relationship with God. Because you begin to ask God, how should I spend my money? Is this something that you want me to give my money to? Is this something you want me to buy? The relationships that you develop. In order to have a decent relationship with somebody, you've got to have a spiritual connection with that person. And the only way that's possible is through God. Everything in life is spiritual. And God wants us to take the things that are dishonoring to Him and get rid of those things and replace those things with things that will bring us spiritual health and maturity. Matthew 5, verse 6 says, God will bless those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. What does it mean when it says God will bless somebody? A lot of people like to think that that means that God will make you successful, God will give you stuff. But when God blesses you, it simply means that God makes you happy. That's what the word bless means, to make happy. And if you're blessed, you're a person that's full of joy. And God is saying, if you're a person that is hungering and thirsting after my righteousness, I'm going to make you a happy person. And let's face it, every person on the face of this earth is looking for happiness. If there's anybody that's not looking for happiness, I don't think that they're being honest. Because whether somebody's trying to hurt themselves because they're unhappy, maybe they're trying to hide the pain, ultimately it's a quest for happiness in their lives. And so every single one of us wants it. And God is saying, I have the key to being happy in life, and that is that you seek after me, you pursue me. Colossians 3, verse 12, it says, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. It says God chose you to be holy. What does it mean to be holy? I think that's a confusing term for some of us because we hear the word holy and we automatically think of somebody that never does anything wrong. And that's really not what the word means. For something to be holy, it simply means that that thing is set apart for a purpose. My cell phone, which I have in my pocket here, is set aside for a specific purpose. What's that purpose? Making phone calls. I was actually doing this one time during a message that I was giving, and I opened my phone, and someone was actually calling me. And I was using an illustration. I opened my phone. Hello? Oh, there's actually somebody there. Hello. Anyway, but the fact is, my phone has a specific purpose, and that purpose is to make phone calls, to communicate. Okay? I could use it for other things. I could use it as a weapon. You know, throw it at somebody. There's things I couldn't use it as, a flotation device. I don't think it would work for that. But when something is set aside for a specific purpose, it's holy, according to the definition of the word. And so God is saying that you are a person that I have set aside for a specific purpose. And what is that purpose? My friends, that's what life is all about, finding out what that purpose is that God has for you. What is that holy reason that he has for you being here on this earth? We've got to find out what that is. And I believe it starts with replacing those things that are dishonoring to God with the things that are going to help you grow in a spiritual way and become a healthy person. Third thing I see in this passage is not only do we need to get rid of those things, not only do we need to replace those things, but you need to recognize that you are an instrument for God's use in your home. Now, this is a little bit tricky because we don't like to think of ourselves necessarily as being an instrument for somebody else's use. Think about who it is that wants to use you. If God wants to use you, that changes everything. If a person wants to use you, well, that just doesn't sound like a situation I want to be in. But when God says, I want to use you, think of the possibilities. And God is saying to each and every one of us, you are an instrument for my use in your home. And if you think of yourself that way, I believe that it kind of changes your entire perspective on your family. Because God is saying, you are the agent that I'm using in your home to bring about the kind of change that's honoring to me. Look at verses 4 and 5. It says, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourself, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. What is he saying here? First of all, he makes reference to Jesus being described as a stone, a living stone. And the word actually is cornerstone. It's actually a stone that is placed down first when a foundation is being laid. And so it's in a very important part of the building. What is he saying? He's saying that Christ needs to be the foundation of your building, the foundation of your life. And he takes it a step further and he says, as a matter of fact, you yourself, as a picture of who Jesus is in your home, you yourself need to be a foundational element of your home. You need to be something that is stable, something that God can build on. I would say it like this. Once you realize that God has set you aside for a specific purpose in your home, everything you do becomes an act of service to him. Once you realize that God has set you aside for a specific purpose in your home, everything you do becomes an act of service to him. There's a great verse in Romans chapter 12 that I love, and I want to read it for you in the message, which, as I mentioned before, it's a paraphrase of the Bible. But I love the way Eugene Peterson, the author, writes this in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. He says this, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. And it all starts with removing the garbage from your life, replacing it with the things of God, so that God can begin to do those things. And now all of a sudden, it's not just you living your life, it's not just you going through your typical ordinary day, but it's you actually taking every opportunity, every moment of your life is an opportunity for you to make an offering to God. That, I think, has some crazy implications. Because you wouldn't believe how many things you can do that are just small things in your home. Things that may not seem like that big of a deal, but things that you do to humble yourself to your family members, try to make somebody else more comfortable, to encourage, to build up, those things are going to add up, and you're going to be building a foundation, and you're going to be along the way making offerings to God as you go. Romans 6:13. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourself completely to God. For you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Now here's the thing. Once again, we come upon a verse that talks about a change that's happened in you. And it's saying, if this change has happened in you, the result is you can be an instrument that God can use. It is only when you begin that relationship with God, it's only when you surrender control of your life to God that you can really have a profound effect on your family. Even if you live in a full house of people that may or may not be blood related to you, you can still be the one God uses to turn that house into a home and that group of people into a family. But that is impossible to do until you've given your heart to God. And so as simply as possible, let me just lay this out for you. I said before that Jesus gave his life. He died on a cross, suffered a death that he didn't deserve. He did that to take the punishment for your sin. And if you would be honest and admit to God that you've done things that are wrong, that you're a person that has lived for yourself, if you would admit that, confess it to him, and ask him to forgive you, once you do that, you begin a relationship with God, and all of a sudden you become an instrument for God's use.
Light of the world. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.